Well, hello and welcome to After the Sermon, a Bethany podcast where we have the privilege of digging deeper into our Sunday messages. I am Tammy DeLau, and today I am joined with Pastor David Baxley.
It's just David. Like, we have no Steve.
I said your name wrong again or something.
No. Just for those not watching us, we're missing our partner in crime.
Yes. We are. So, but this is fun because you and I love to dialogue and go back.
It's just
and
like
forth.
Hanging out in my office every week. Yes.
So you are doing James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. And I'm just going to go ahead and read. And I am so excited to dig into this.
Okay,
so
let's do
ready?
It.
Here we go. All right. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until he receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts because the Lord's coming is near. Brothers and sisters, do not complain about one another so that you will not be judged. Look, the judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the Lord's name as an example of suffering and patience. See, we count as blessed those who have endured. You have heard of Job's endurance and have seen the outcome that the Lord brought about. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I think we need to tackle is, you know, it's so easy, especially if you read other translations, to say, oh, this is just any suffering that any of us go through. Mm-hmm. But the first word is therefore.
Yes.
And as any good Bible student knows, what is the therefore?
What is it there for?
Yes. So who are we talking to?
So if you remember last week, James is writing pretty aggressively to specifically kind of the rich and the powerful that are abusing and hurting their workers and hurting the people underneath them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about the podcast last week. Is this written toward Christians or is it just kind of this generic, the rich, powerful, mean people out there? And, you know, Steve and I both said, you know, we talked about podcasts. And lean is the right word, right? Because there's really smart people that maybe lean another direction is that in light of all of James, this is to Christians, potentially believers in the fellowship who are acting wrongly in this way. And so in light of that, now we come to this next section and James says, therefore, he's now saying in light of the hurt and the pain, the abuse that even some of you are experiencing, now he's going to shift his focus from writing to those maybe doing the wrong. Now he's writing to those that have been wronged,
that have experienced
the suffering. Yeah. Okay.
So they're seen, but they're not getting away with belly aching. Like, and that's hard. So
yeah, this text has the most interesting, sandwiching of comfort, hard statement, like one verse that's really hard and then potentially comfort again. Mm-hmm. But it's that middle verse 9, that I think is probably the hardest thing in this whole thing. Cause when you consider he's writing to people that are suffering, that have experienced, and this is the part that really stands out to me. And I just want to like say this part out loud. He's writing to Christians that are experiencing hurt and pain, potentially from other Christians.
Right.
He's writing to maybe even the poorest or the weakest among them that are experiencing, which probably would have been the majority is the poor and the weak, who are experiencing abuse or pain or being taken advantage of or whatever you want to be by those few that have but they're in the church, people that they would worship next to, people that they would be studying the God's word next to. That to me makes this whole text just, we're used to suffering, thinking about evil, bad unbelievers causing us pain. Of course we expect that, but now consider it's not just that, it's, you know, my own brother and sister that's causing that pain. It changes, I think, the way we read this text.
I think so too. I mean, it's easy to think, well, if you're suffering and it's cancer, or you're suffering because you have a mean boss who doesn't know Jesus.
Right.
But the truth is we are a family. This church was a family and we hurt one another.
Yeah.
And so what are we going to do with that? And so I love that he uses the word brothers. And I know I've been the one this series going, yeah, I thought I liked James. Maybe I don't like James because he's like, you adulterers. Mm-hmm. And some of the translations are like, look here. I mean, he just seems really bold. And so I melted with the brothers and sisters because those feel like beloved, like, you know, like
sweet, I would agree with
sweet
that.
Words. But even as he's calling them that and they're brothers and sisters, he's still saying, you do not get to have a victim mentality. Mm. And I think sometimes our world tells us we can bellyache and just sit in our pain.
Yeah.
And so
specifically, we're talking about middle verse, verse nine.
Should we read that one again?
Yeah. And I want to read this in the way I think James would want us. Brothers and sisters, do not complain about one another so that you will also not be judged. Mm-hmm. Look, that judge, he stands at your door too. Mm-hmm. I hear a compassionate empathy and warning at the same time, which is, I think naturally to us, I think compassion and warning feel like opposite. If you're going to have empathy for me, don't tell me what you think I could be missing right now. That's not the point. Come at a different time. Tell me that. And he's saying, but my deep empathy and compassion for you says, I don't want you to be in the same position that these others, because the warning, and Steve covered this last week, we talked about on the podcast, the phrase that jumps out to most in this verse to the rich is the way he uses the phrase, the outcry of the harvesters has reached the Lord of armies. Mm-hmm. We just talked about that as a prophetic call out of God's judgment that is coming. And then he comes and says, brothers and sisters, and don't complain about these people. Mm-hmm. They are doing what is wrong. But if you are complaining, if you are talking bad about each other, if you're slandering, you know, other versions we can say of this, then that same God also comes and has to judge your sin too.
And I think sometimes I want the judge who's going to vindicate Tammy.
Yeah.
But I don't want the judge who's going to find Tammy guilty.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that you mentioned that. I think that's what makes this so hard is, but they're the victims. Mm-hmm. Like they're the ones that are suffering at the hand of other people's abuse of power and abuse of money. How can we look at them and say, but you could also be judged? And as my wonderful feeling friend, that's like, any, that's gotta be like, cause even for me, I sit in that and that feels really uncomfortable.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we know exactly what to do with that. Mm-hmm. And I think if there's something like, to consider in this moment that I want to kind of articulate, and I'll mention this sermon, but I want to own it in here too. The wrong way of reading a text like this is for someone to read, well, I guess I'm being hurt. I'm being taken down. God forbid, even like physical, spiritual, emotional abuse, you know, things like that, that people can endure the worst. I guess I just have to sit here and take it.
And we definitely want a disclaimer that that's not what we're saying.
That is not what James is saying.
No.
Because James is, the first part of this is so important. James is appealing to God as the authority. God is the ultimate judge. He's the ultimate authority. He's going to go and make what is right. But God has given us on this earth right judges, right authority, the God that we read in other places of scripture that God has established. And it is right for us to go to them. Mm-hmm. It is right to go to someone and say, you know, and say, help. Mm-hmm. Something is happening to me that's wrong, that's illegal, that's that's abusive, that is very damaging, right? Or whatever it might be, whether it be to go to, you know, police authorities or something like that, or even to go to like a kid that would go to his parent, I'm suffering, I'm being hurt, or, you know, whatever it might be, you know, whatever the scenarios might be. James is not saying, shut up and take it.
Be a doormat.
Yes, that is not at all what he's saying. He's saying, in light of the fact that you guys are in relational community together, you can't continue to seek to complain in order to try to, in your own attempt to vindicate your pain. And I think I know in myself, one of the reasons there's two reasons I complain. One, I'm looking for someone to say, yep, your anger and hurt's legitimate. Mm-hmm. Like, yep, I agree with you. Like there's a comfort that says, Tammy agrees with all the pain I'm feeling. Like, right. because that can be even itself be dangerous sometimes. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I think we're looking for is, I see this person that's hurt me as such a bad and evil person. I want you to see him that way too, because they've hurt me and I feel powerless and able to do anything about it. Mm-hmm. You know, especially in this situation, think about, these were the ones with the most power and the most money. What are they going to do? Mm-hmm. Like these people are hurting them. They've got nothing they can do. But if I go to Tammy and I go to Bob over here and I go to, you know, Josh and I say, look what the evil these people are doing. I start to complain about them. You guys can't fix this either, but I'm going to start telling you about the evil person over here. It's my attempt to gain power and to bring my own, maybe even revenge or bring my own version of justice against that's hurt me. If I can't actually cause them, make them pay for it physically, I can at least make others see them as evil. And that helps me feel vindicated a little bit.
And I think the lie that we believe is we're going to feel better. I love it when science proves that the Bible is right.
Yes.
You know, so, and you're going to share that.
I am like there's a great article. And I'm just going to reference one quote of it, but, the whole theme of this research that was done is they studied thousands and thousands of people and they looked at, the idea, what we use the word venting is, does venting, when we vent, complain or whatever it is, does it help us
to deal with, relieve
the pain? Yeah. Relieve the pressure, relieve the pain. You know, like how often I've done this. I am sure I've walked into your office, Tammy, and said, can I just vent for a moment? Yeah. Why? Cause I'm frustrated. I'm hurt. And so what I want to do is I have this belief that if I verbally declare all these things,
somehow I'm going to help carry the burden.
Yeah. Somehow that's going to make me feel better. Mm-hmm. And what this research is showing, and they referenced other research as well, is that that actually has the opposite effect. When we do that, we continue the stimulation of aggression and anger and hurt. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't relieve pressure. It actually builds up more pressure,
which is amazing.
And God already knew it. Mm-hmm. What we think, this will make me stronger. Mm-hmm. And God is saying, no, actually this will make you, the one that is hurting, even weaker. Mm-hmm. You will actually experience more pain because of it. Right. The pain will feel multiplied inside your heart. Mm-hmm. This blew me away because this kind of goes with every instinct I have and probably goes against a lot of instincts that we've been told growing up.
And I know I did because I was looking at your notes last night and I found the link to the article and read it too. And so what we are told to do in those situations is to breathe, to relax, to meditate. How about praying to our Heavenly Father? You know, like the judges right there. So I'm like, wow. And so when we are told not to do that and to know that the judge is near, the Lord is near, let's talk about that. Like we can jump there
because
too.
I was talking with Naomi in my office before coming in here today and we were processing it cause she was going to get something ready that I'm going to do on Sunday that we won't talk about here yet. Cause it's for Sunday. Love that. Right. Yeah. Put that out there. She said, okay, and James doesn't answer this directly. She says, but how? Mm-hmm. So you're saying don't complain. Instead, trust God to deal with that.
Be patient, David.
Yeah, but be patient. Mm-hmm. How am I supposed to be patient? Mm-hmm. And I think instinctively we don't see it. Mm-hmm. But when James is focusing on the Lord's coming, and then when he makes the statement, because the Lord's coming is near, he's reminding us that actually the way we are patient is when we keep our eyes off of ourselves and our pain, and we turn our eyes to the one that can actually bring justice, the one that actually can bring healing, the one that says, I am a comfort to those that are broken. Mm-hmm. Like the one that says, I will put my arms around you. The one that says like, the one that even I believe weeps with us when we're weeping and comforts us in our pain, but also helps lift us up out of that.
But I think sometimes when you read this, you think, oh yeah, near, well, 2000 years later.
Yeah. The Lord's coming is near. Like, and that word near, I was looking at that word more this week and that jumped out to me because when I think of near, I think of time. Mm-hmm. When is it coming? It's going to happen soon. I put the word soon on that word. It's going to come soon. But what I realized is what that word should remind us of, what I think it would have reminded these readers is that the Lord's coming is near. It's reminding them that the King has already come. And he is in the middle of establishing his kingdom. And we are in the middle of walking and living in the kingdom of God being established. So our King is side by side with us, advocating with us, walking this with us, moving and still doing, not fully completed yet, but even versions of reconciliation and justice and healing and all exposing. I mean, The rich are being exposed by James writing this letter. God is at work dealing with these things, but it's not going to be complete until Christ actually returns. But
so it's that theological phrase that we use, yes, already, but not yet.
Yes,
that's what this is explaining.
That's exactly right. Okay. And I think the emphasis has to be not on when, which is what we want to read on this. Well, I mean, when are you going to fix this, God? Mm-hmm. And the emphasis is actually on the who.
Okay.
And that's the how. If the how is not found in the when, okay. The how is found in the who.
Okay.
It's who God is.
Okay.
It's, you know, Naomi and I were talking and I was thinking of this image. I won't get to use this in my sermon, so I'll use it now. And so I think what James is saying, you have to take the pain, you have to take the wrong, the injustice, and I want to hold on to it because I want to deal with this. Mm-hmm. I want it to be fixed and I want it to be resolved. And he's saying, you're going to have to hand that over to God. I mean, the truth is, and especially in this context, and we find ourselves in this today, they had no power to fix this or resolve it. And you have to hand it over. And all I could think of was when I used to do that, wrestle the bone away from my dog. And he, you know, or the rope, right? He had the rope in his mouth and I would be like, drop it, drop it, drop it. He's like, no, I don't want to. And he's shaking his head and he's clenched on it. And the thing is, at any moment he can let go of it. Mm-hmm. At any moment he can choose to say, I'm going to let David have this. Mm-hmm. There's only one reason he doesn't. He doesn't want to.
Okay.
Because it's hard. He loves this thing. It's become a part. To let go, he's not sure whether he'll get it back. He's not sure what's going to happen. There's fear, like all these natural instincts. And yet God is saying, but you have to let me have it because you can't do it. And as long as you're holding on to it, it's going to poison you.
Okay.
And so when I let go, when I'm like the dog in that situation, I let go, I'm entrusting that what I've let go of, God's going to deal with correctly, okay. That he's better than me with this. Then he can have it. That's a really hard thing to do. And the how is found in trusting God's character. James closes this with saying, and remember, the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Mm-hmm. Like you hear that gentleness in his tone. I think he's acknowledging how hard this is, but we can't let how hard it is keep us from doing what God's asking us to do.
Mm-hmm. No, that's really good. And then he's giving them, so he's acknowledging they're in pain, and he's telling them to be patient. Mm-hmm. He's reminding them that not only will the person who obviously doesn't repent will be judged, that God is faithful, that they will be judged if they choose to live in bitterness or victimization or I don't know what word to give it. But then he's encouraging them by saying, okay, my Jewish brothers and sisters, you know about the prophets and you know about Job. Yeah. So there may be some sitting with us on Sunday that are like, who's Job and what happened to the prophets? But they knew. And so he was giving them real life examples of enduring and right.
Yeah. No, as I've thought about the prophets more, I don't know if I've ever connected it this way before. But as I was thinking in the context of this text, these were Jewish prophets. Mm-hmm. Who killed him?
The Israelites.
The Jewish people. Mm-hmm. The prophet, they were sent by God.
To warn
the people out of God's love and compassion for them.
And
his own family, his own people that had been called by God to be set apart. But at this point, in those points when the prophets often would come, had been rebelling or walking away from God. Those are the ones that end up killing the prophets. It's their own people. It reminds me of what potentially people are walking in right now is their own people who are called by God to be set apart. If anybody you would expect to not be the one that hurts you, our instinct says, well, if anybody's not going to hurt me, it better be the church.
Right.
And I talk about this a lot in premarriage counseling. And I tell them to look at each other. And I said, you're looking at the person that may be the one that hurts you the most in your entire life. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I have the highest relational expectations out of that person. Mm-hmm. I have my deepest love for them. And so if we're in a church family where we deeply love each other and we have high expectations of love and support, and then that gets violated because of sin that all of us have the potential to walk into, it is going to to hurt the most. And that's what the prophets endured. Imagine looking at mm-hmm. the one killing them and like, but you're my fellow.
I'm doing this because I love you.
Yeah, I do this because I love you and you're my fellow. And so I think he's mm-hmm. he's almost maybe appealing to that and to say, yep, even their own people killed the prophets. Mm-hmm. And look at their example of suffering and patience. Mm-hmm. And they had to wait on God to deal with it.
And I think we really see it in the story of Job. And so the beautiful thing is a lot of those of us who are doing the Bible recap will have gone through Job, but he doesn't complain really to God or about God, nor does he complain when his friends are jerky.
So you've been doing the recap, recap, what was it that Job endured? Like the prophets died at the hands of people. What was it that Job endured? It's different.
Yeah. So Job is this righteous man. The mm-hmm. Bible says that he's righteous.
Yes.
And so Satan appears before God and he says, well, of course he's righteous. You give him everything he mm-hmm. wants. Mm-hmm. Let me have my way with him. Yeah. This is Tammy paraphrase.
I love Tammy paraphrases. So that's why I was like, let's go for it here.
So God says, yes, but you cannot, you know, touch him.
You can't kill Job.
Can't kill Job.
But you can do whatever you want.
So I'm trying to think of all the things that happened. The thing that gets me is he lost all 10 of his children.
He lost his kids. He lost his wealth, yep. his mm-hmm. resources, mm-hmm. And then his health
yep.
starts to go down. Mm-hmm. And then the middle of that, and this is where I think the story really mm-hmm. brings us into this. He is enduring some pretty tremendous things.
Right.
Then,
but saying things like naked, I came from my mother's womb. He will not dishonor God. His
right.
wife wants him to.
He won't complain about God.
No, he will not complain.
He won't complain.
And then his friends come. And for a while, his friends are great. I want to be like Job's friends when my friends are hurting before they spoke.
Before they spoke.
When they just really believed in the ministry of presence. Yeah,
you had me at your silence.
Yes, in the ministry of presence. So God shows up and kind of writes the, you know, deals with the friends, but also says to Job, were you there when? All of these things that happen. When it's all done and said, Job says, I have heard, but now I have seen.
Yeah.
And I love that. And you know me, my symbolic self, when we look at verse 11, mm-hmm. we see where
you have heard of Job's endurance
and you have seen the outcome that the Lord has brought about. And so I love that we're going mm-hmm. back and we're reminded about God.
And come back to Job's friends for a moment, because we can see Job enduring a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And in a sense, these are the, just things are happening. Terrible things just
Terrible.
Seem to be happening. Life just stinks at this moment.
We, to this day, if we see someone going through crisis after crisis,
yes.
I mean, I have a dear friend whose husband had cancer for 11 years. They lived mm-hmm. cancer. It was not easy.
Yeah.
And he died. And then weeks later, his cousin's husband died. This wife now is filled with cancer. So I have one yeah. friend. And so the only thing I can say about Sweet Lori is I feel like I'm watching a modern day Job.
Mm.
I mean, we use that expression.
Yeah.
You know?
And then the friends come mm-hmm. and the people that you would have thought should have brought comfort
right.
brought more pain.
Right.
And that's where I find myself relating to this even more mm-hmm. is life is hard. And then the people I thought were going to get my back mm-hmm. in the body of Christ in this example are causing more pain mm-hmm. for the believers. And yet look at what, I love how you worded it. We have heard of Job's endurance. Mm-hmm. He stayed faithful. He did not like curse God and die. He did not curse his friends even. And he didn't bring about his own version of rebuke. Mm-hmm. Instead, God shows up on the scene in God's timing and God deals with it. He deals with the friends and he deals with Job as well. But then what happens at the end of that story is
he's restored.
And that brings us back to Christ's return. Mm-hmm. When we come back to like what the image of where James starts in this section is be patient to Lord's coming. When God does finally show up, mm-hmm. he's going to make it right. Mm-hmm. He's going to right the wrongs. And not only whatever we lost, whatever pain we've endured, God comes back and gives blessings on top of that.
I think, which is beautiful, but how often do we think of that? We
yes.
want to stop at Job's story and say, he got his money back and he got his children back.
On earth right now.
Right.
on earth right now.
And so, yes. But that isn't the happy ending. The happy ending is God.
You said, I think you asked that question, mm-hmm. that how often do we actually think of Christ's return?
I don't think we do, friend.
I agree. I was contemplating that mm-hmm. this morning, even Tammy, because you had mentioned that to me. And I was like, when's the last time I thought of Christ's return? And the moments that, and it, they're few, if I'm really honest, mm-hmm. that where I'm like, oh God, come, mm-hmm. even so come, right? Mm-hmm. Is when it's really hard and painful. And the thing is, what I want God to do is come, is just take away the pain. Mm-hmm. And the hard part is on God's promise is not to come and take away all of our pain right now. Mm-hmm. His promise is to meet us in the pain. His promise is to accomplish great things. The hard part is when we, in that pain, let our hearts get hard toward God and toward people, we actually put a barrier up between us and God and the comfort that he wants to bring to us. Mm-hmm. When we go back to that lie of complaining and venting or whatever those things that we want to do, and we're like, I just want to feel better. That's what we're doing. I just want to feel better. He's like, I want to be your comfort, but these things keep you from my comfort. Mm-hmm. I need you to trust me enough when I tell you, don't do it this way, because it will not bring you comfort. Instead, come to me, all who are weary mm-hmm. and heavy laden, all who are in pain, who are burdened. I will give you rest. Right. Take my yoke on you, because mm-hmm. it's easy. My burden is light. And I think the reason we don't trust God to actually do that. If I'm just, and I'm saying that about my own life, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, when I believe I've got to fix it my way, when I've got to go about trying to vindicate and solve my problems David's way, it's because I don't really trust God enough to give those things to him and believe that he can be a better comfort mm-hmm. than my version of what I'm trying to accomplish.
I think that's good. This is such a rich passage yeah. and there's just so much. So there's definitely that, but there's also, if we're sticking with the, I want to grumble, I want to complain, I want to vent. If I can point at someone else and their yuck, it stops me from looking at my yuck
need
for Jesus. And the true gift is in me seeing God's graciousness in my depravity, not staying there, you know, but I think it's easy to do this because I don't have to look here.
You know, and one of the things that I try to do when I find myself, when I'm actually sitting with God in my pain, this is not easy to do. This is something by when I'm sitting with God in my pain is God. I mean, let's take the worst case, you know, worst case scenario, right? Like my wife's done something that's hurt me, right? And I'm upset about this, right? We've all sat in that moment with someone we've loved and cared about. God, I am hurting right now, but you know what? I know, God, I know I've hurt her too. Mm-hmm. So give me, come back to what James said, compassion and mercy that you have toward me when I've hurt you. Give me that same compassion and mercy that I desire from her.
That's slow to anger.
Yeah. The thing is though, if I go and vent, venting never brings me to that moment. Mm-mm. Venting never brings me there. But when I just sit with God, even as I cry out to God in my pain and I tell him what's hurting me, it's ironic. I don't get there with humans when I share my pain, but when I begin to share my pain with God and allow the Holy Spirit to minister back to me, he takes me somewhere that I can't ever go in a human conversation. He takes me somewhere with him mm-hmm. and reminds me of who he is. Because when I think of the wrong I've done to God, he was innocent. Mm-hmm. Any wrong done to me, even though it really stinks, like I've wronged someone else.
Right.
Like, I mean, truth in the middle of all of this is mm-hmm. if it weren't for God's compassion and mercy that he showed me, none of these other conversations would even matter. How much more can I extend that to someone else? Mm-hmm. The same way I want it extended to me. I think that's the closing of this statement brings us to that moment.
I think that's what James is doing as the brother of the church, is he's ultimately pointing them to Jesus and saying, be like your brother. I see that so much. So
be like Jesus. Mm-hmm. Be like Jesus. That's
because he didn't grumble. He didn't complain.
Yeah. He didn't mm-hmm. attack back. Mm-hmm. He didn't lash out. Right. He endured some pretty horrific things.
he didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm. It was a beautiful, this has been, and the more I sit in this, you know, especially for those listening, the more I sit in this, just acknowledge, the more I can get uncomfortable with this text.
Yes.
But also the more I realize that uncomfortability in me, at least, is rooted in, I'm really getting challenged in maybe beliefs that I didn't realize I had that I thought were really okay.
Right.
But now the Spirit's like, but David, they weren't, those weren't mine. Mm-hmm. And I want to give you something better than that.
And it's so rich. I think girl groups can have so much time, but yeah. I think at the end of the day, what we need to hear is we are a church. We are brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. We're going to hurt each other.
Yeah.
This side of eternity.
Yeah.
And are we going to grumble and complain? Mm-hmm. Are we going to run into the Lord's arms with those things?
Amen.
I think that's what we need to hear.
Amen. That's so good.
So our brother Steve next week, he gets one verse.
Yeah, that's one right. Yeah. So for all those that want to read ahead, James chapter 5, verse 12, maybe read it three times. It might help you prepare a little bit more for it.
Although it is, I mean, it's going to be great. And I totally understand why he gets one verse.
I am looking forward to it
as
well.
But I do like to tease him.
To get more Steve, verses. Wherever you are, we love you.
Yes, we do. All right. Well, thank you, brother. This is fun. And thank you for joining us. Have a great week. Bye-bye.